It's Tron. I've got some more thoughts about the Self-Storage Association conference I just attended in Las Vegas in September. One of the things I continue to talk with people about is call centers or contact centers or communication centers or whatever it is you call the thing that is your plan and strategy for handling incoming and outgoing communication with customers, whether that's some mix of website chat or chat bots or live agents or whatever you're doing to supplement whatever self-service you've got set up for people so they can rent units and pay rent and get issues resolved. And it's interesting that my first trip to one of the SSA conferences was all about call centers because so few companies were doing things like that when I first got in the industry. I think probably Public Storage and Manhattan Mini Storage, and there might have been one or two others that were doing things quietly on their own and in their own markets to try and figure out how to handle phones. But it was not the talk of the town, that's for sure. And 22 or 23 years later, we're still figuring out how best to handle the conversations and how best to increase sales conversions and how best to get first call or first contact resolution for people and how best to help people figure out their own issues, self-service, I guess you would call it. And it's fun to see it develop. And here recently, I've had another wave of call center consulting engagements, helping people figure out what does that contact center look like for 2023 to 2025 or whatever range we're looking at here. And what does that all entail, and how can you use the technology to make it all be smoother and better and be a better experience for customers and employees? And it's been fun to work those things out and to see the kinds of effectiveness and efficiencies you can really get to when you find the right mix of technology and people and the right mix of self-service and full service for whatever that particular company is trying to accomplish and what their management goals are and the lifestyle goals of the people working on the projects and so on. So it's been really fun to help people work those things out. And I'm sure over the coming years, I'll continue to be working on those engagements because it's so important and there's so much money at stake, both as far as expenses and income, in getting right how you communicate with customers and how all of your systems internally work together so that your communications with customers is smooth, but also your communication within the organization is smooth, and you're not driving yourself nuts trying to manage 27 different apps which don't talk to each other very well. So that's been really interesting. And I did enjoy seeing what some of the other technology companies are up to. I didn't have enough time really to visit much with some of my friends at Tenant Inc., but it's sure interesting to see how their Hummingbird product is coming along and what's happening there, and with their new infusion of capital, what's going to happen next for them. So that's been very interesting. I did get a chance to visit a little bit with Phil Murphy from Call Potential, and you know, I've been sort of on the peripheries of Call Potential since the very beginning as a super fan, I guess you'd call it, and on occasion a helper, and certainly they've been a huge help to me with all the clients I've worked with who use Call Potential as their platform, and for the call centers I've run using Call Potential as a platform. So that's always good to get caught up with him. And I think the deal that Call Potential did with Storable is going to be really interesting. I did get a chance to just very briefly say hello to Chuck Gordon from Storable. I always enjoy talking with Chuck when I can to see what's new and what's happening, because they've certainly come to understand the storage business very well at Storable. I've had a long relationship with the Storable people from when Sparefoot first kind of started, and I was not encouraging to them to, you know, many, many layers and many variations of good relationships after that. And it's really quite impressive to see what happened to Sparefoot, right? How that all grew into Storable, and who knows what's next? Sky's the limit, I guess, they say. So that was all very interesting. I had some really interesting conversations with some newer people, and you know, you often don't get to see a lot of newer people at the SSA conferences. A lot of times it feels like the newer people and are at the Inside Self-Storage World Expo. But I did get to talk to quite a few newer people this time around, and it's always fun to hear kind of what their impressions of the business are, right? I'm one of those people who certainly suffers from the curse of knowledge. I've seen so much in the self-storage business over the last 22 or 23 years and done so much and have been involved in so many things that I am very, very close to everything. I don't have the advantage or the pleasure of looking at self-storage as a new person or as someone who only has experience in other places that I can then apply to self-storage. Although one of the things I love is when I'm working on projects outside of self-storage, which I do frequently enough, that is a big educator for when I then take on another self-storage project or when I'm looking at some of my own self-storage stuff. It's an interesting layer to put on top of it. And so, you know, I see from some of the new entrants coming in, you still have some of the people who we used to see, the folks who were builders or renovators or house flippers or in the apartment business, trying to get better cash flow and get away from managing so many tenants. And as Scott Myers always likes to talk about, is getting away from managing toilets and kitchens and so on. We still see some of those people. And then I'm also talking to more and more people who are taking sort of a startup approach to self-storage and looking at it as they might if they were in the startup world. And that's really interesting because I've dipped my toe in the startup world some. I've worked with a few startups on some consulting projects, and I guess even had a startup at one point that was in the gaming world that was kind of fun to work on for a while. Actually, very fun to work on for a while. So it's interesting to see how people apply a startup mentality to self-storage. It certainly worked for Chuck and Mario from Sparefoot to look at this as a startup project. So we'll see what's next. And it's also interesting to catch up with some of the folks who are doing the marketing work for self-storage and see kind of where their head is at. Because as a longtime marketing geek and somebody who ran some big, powerful marketing programs, it's fun to see just how crazy it is out there with things that change every day and things that never change. And at one point, I was giving talks to people in the storage world and outside the storage world about what I called tradigital marketing. I'm sure I did not coin that term. I'm quite positive of that. But it's an interesting thought that, you know, traditional marketing works, right? Word of mouth, reputation building, brand building, finding people's pain points and solving those. making people feel good about their lifestyle choices, all those kind of traditional things in marketing that, you know, go back to some of the crazy campaigns of the old days, like, you know, Winston cigarettes, I'd rather fight than switch, or, you know, have it your way at Burger King or whatever, all these kinds of things, how they become a very different approach when you apply digital marketing and social networking and automation to them, you know, what the digital marketing looks like after you've applied the traditional theories. So it's fun to see how that continues to grow. I was also impressed at just how much everyone is talking about AI, whatever it is we think AI is, right? Or whatever it is today or whatever it's going to become tomorrow. It's really fascinating to hear how people are thinking about that and what they think it's going to have for an impact all across the many, many activities and transactions that we do in the self-storage world. So we'll see what that turns into. That's going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I've been there in the self-storage world for a couple big transitions already. Right, I was there when sort of the first private equity firms were starting to dip their toes into self-storage. And, you know, you look at somebody like Warburg Pincus, who just has been very aggressive, especially in Asia. And, you know, they started out a long time ago with some smaller storage outfits that are now huge storage outfits in North America and Europe, and now they've got a big appetite for Asia, it sure looks like, so that's pretty fascinating. So that's interesting to see how that's all coming together. Anyway, it was a very, very interesting conference. I got a lot out of it. Hopefully I'll get a lot of follow-up calls from people I've talked to, and they'll say, "Hey, Tron, I'm coming to Hawaii to hang out with you and your fabulous crew." Or, "Hey, Tron, yeah, we need to figure some stuff out. Help us out here." Or, "Hey, Tron, I've got a deal for a nice storage facility you can buy that will actually cash flow here pretty quick." All those kinds of conversations I would love to have. So thanks for listening to me ramble. If you were at the Self-Storage Association conference, I hope you also had a great time. And if I didn't get to say hello to you, reach out, call me, text me, email me, message me, Facebook me, whatever it is you do, find me on LinkedIn. I'd be glad to hear what's happening in your world and what your impressions are of self-storage and just business in general. And if you were not at the Self-Storage Association conference, reach out. I'd love to chat about whatever's happening in your business and how you see your challenges and opportunities taking shape. So thanks. See ya.